here. So you all go to heaven just from showing up. The secret to America is not America. The secret to America is God. We are exactly on time. If you have to understand the times. So we're in the beginning of sorrows right now. You know that. In the last half of the week, these are the Daniel's 70th week. 69, Jesus. And then when he died, when he was crucified in the middle of the week, then what's left is what's going to happen to Israel. That's after the beginning of sorrows. That would be the end of sorrows. Why sorrows? Because Israel will then go through the cleansing process so that only the priests survive the Holocaust that's coming. But the priests go back and renew Israel. And so they'll get their land, physical land. And so they have a bright future just like we do. If you listen to Trump yesterday, you heard him say, if you didn't, it was a great thing. He was in Florida. 20,000 people gathered there. And he told, without any apology at all, he told the whole story of the election, of him running again, and so on and so forth. So it is amazing that he is not at all discouraged, that he's not at all disappointed. He actually feels this is in God's plan. What he doesn't know is what I'm going to preach about today in the 29th verse of Exodus. Why? Because Exodus is the story of you go from slavery to all of a sudden freedom. But you have to suffer. So they wandered, not for 11 days, which it only, if you just walked the main highway, you could get there in 11 days. So that's all it would take, because it's that close. And so they could easily go from where they were in Mount Horeb, which is the same thing as Sinai. Same thing, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is just going up the road. And so they could easily make it. However, God had them wander because they had to suffer. Golly, what about the onions and leeks? They said, gee, we were better off in Egypt. At least we were slaves. But now he's given us more suffering in the desert. And all there is, it's like Texas. It gets so hot. But today it's cool. And so, how many know that God can make a way when there's no way? Not only that, he loves to do that. He willingly does that. He gladly does that. Even if you still have sin in your life, he loved you while you were yet sinners, to show that only the blood of Jesus Christ, only the blood. So as I read today, probably won't do it because it's a small group, but you need to say the blood of Jesus, because that's the entry. That is the entry by that blood. So when I'm going to read today about the high priest, if you change the high priest, you change the law. If you change the high priest, you change the law. In fact, nothing under law is ever perfected. Period. Period. We're talking about the Mosaic law. So the law that he gave Israel was actually the gospel, which Jesus said in John 10. And when he said that, he said, Moses wrote of me. In other words, he wrote all about me. In other words, he preached the gospel to Israel. Now, I shared 2 years ago about when we did Deuteronomy, that mitzvah, M-I-T-S-A-V-A-H, could be, has two understandings. Could either be a promise or it could be a command. Well, there's a big difference. If it's a command under a law, that's different than being under grace. So everything for Christians starts with grace, because Jesus did not ask your permission when he died on the cross for you. He didn't ask mine. He didn't say, Jim, what do you think about this? He wasn't even interested in my opinion. So it's called imputed righteousness. He just imputes it to you because of his heart, because of his character, because of his nature. Since he did that, he just give that for free. That's called caritas. Caritas means grace. So the riches of his grace, I said to you 2 weeks ago, is not the same thing as the riches of his glory. So the riches of his grace is where everybody stops. Chair 4. That's all they want. The riches of his grace. He's forgiven all our sins. Yay, yay, yay. No, that's not glorious. That's not at all finish. That's not the end of the law. So there's a process that goes on. So it goes from glory to glory, that says in the Bible. So when that blood is shed, and it's shed in all three cases, first of all, he forgives you of all your sins. That's glorious. That's gracious. But it isn't glory. The real glory of God hasn't even yet come. And so it's yet to come. And we're not even close to it. Even all of these sufferings that Jesus endured, even all the sufferings and death that he took on our behalf to shed his blood, all of that is just preliminary. But it gets you in. It's the doorway in. It's the chair for caritas, which simply means his grace. And because of his grace, we now have coming glory, but that's not next. The next is he lives inside of you after his resurrection. So the first thing, he died on the cross. So he was born in Mary, to vindicate Eve, by the way. He was born in Mary because Eve is actually, through Mary, by childhood, has Jesus as her child. And so we are now, it's our turn now, because of the glory. Now the glory of God hasn't even come yet. But in the glory, your will is changed. Not just Jesus willed something in heaven, and then Jesus had to execute it on earth by his death and shedding of blood. That got you forgiveness of sins. We don't forgive enough. We need to forgive our enemies, as the speaker today, Larry, said, let's pray for them. Let's not curse them. Let's pray for them. Why? Because they don't have any teachers. They don't have any mentors. They don't have any instruction. They don't know anything about God. So the whole world is about to change. Now, right? I can say it easily. I prophesy that from now on, you'll see a different change in the whole world. The whole world will never be the same again. The whole world is going to be open to maybe. Maybe there is a God. And he couldn't be Buddhist. It could not be idolatry of Hinduism. He couldn't be Muslim. He couldn't be even Catholic, even Jewish. It has to be not a Jew that's a Jew today, but tomorrow they will be messianic. So today, if you were to have an election without Netanyahu, it'd be hard because he's the only one that could actually know how to go at the enemy and so on and so forth. So everything is actually good news today. Everything is good news. Ever since I met Jesus 49 years ago, I haven't been the same. I'm no longer me. I've become another man, just as Danny is another man. And every one of you are another person. You are now a child of the living God. In fact, you'll be called sons of the living God, male or female, doesn't matter. Just like we men will be bride of Christ, male or female, doesn't make any difference. Because we're helping Eve, which is the church, which is what we're doing right here, is to make sure that Eve also is saved, even though she sinned. Even though she sinned. She fell because of the lies and because of the murdering of Satan. He deceived her. He tricked her. But Adam, he just ate the thing and didn't even think about it. That's a typical male. That's a typical male. And so that's the way it is, but that's the way it is, and that's the way it is. How many know that it ain't over just because I sinned? It's only over if I finish and become an overcomer, overcome the world, the flesh, the devil. So, because of those who are our enemies, they're nothing, nothing. All you have to say is the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. And you can laugh your head off, just like God sits in the heavens and laughs. Did you know why he's laughing? Because he knows you can't do what you can't do. And since you can't do a good work, you're not Jewish. You're not Muslim. You're not Hindu, Buddhist, Confucianist. You're nothing, 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 nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're now nothing. Greatest place to be, because then God does everything. So if you quickly die out to this world and don't listen to the devil or your own flesh. So what you think is not thinking. You can't even think. You don't even know how to think. You'd have to have been renewed by the Word of God so that you renew your mind. Oh, that's different. Now, if you renew your mind, then you could renew your strength. And if you could renew your strength, you'd have power, capacity to actually stand in the presence of God with no fear at all. To say, Lord, even though I just sinned just before I got here, however, because of the blood which got me in, now I'm building on that blood so that I can get to the glory. Because when it says to one degree of glory, that's sanctification. Chair, what? Not four, five. And then that leads to glorification, chair six. And that leads to a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Isn't that amazing? Now, I've simplified everything for you to let you know that even the pagans, even people that sinned, even people that are used to being bad and wicked and so on, they can change in a minute, in a second. All God has to do is come back. And he hadn't here yet. How many know he's not here yet? Because he won't come until Israel is destroyed. Oh no, no, not destroyed. Cleansed. Because then the priests who know all about mercy and grace and glory. So they'll strengthen you by saying, you're clean of the leprosy. You're clean of this disease. You're clean of everything that you had in Egypt. You're clean of everything. And you remember Pharaoh said, this is the 12th chapter. He said, and bless me too before you go. Don't just get rid of the, you know, the storms and the firstborn all dead and so on. Don't just worry about that. Could you bless me also? And so Egypt, which is the first satanic, you know, idolatry. That's why God led her to that land right there. Because every Pharaoh was a son of God, and when he dies, that he has to go through the death thing. And if after you're dead, then you resurrect because you'll be God now, just not man, just not mere man, son of man. You don't want to be like God; you want to be God. And so he could act like a god, but he was just like a god. He wasn't God until he dies, and then. If you go through this underground world, and so Nimrod, he's the guy that started all this idea, let's make Egypt great. Just like Trump. Let's make America great. The problem is, you can't. Don't you think that's funny? I think that's funny. And so you're trying to do something you can't do, because you cannot be God, because there's only one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So since there's only one God, I'm happy all the time. You can't depress me. You can kill me. It doesn't matter. I'm not interested in death. I mean, I just go home quicker. Let's say you have to suffer and die. Oh, that'd be cool. Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think? When you see these things, beginning of sorrows, when you see these things, know that your redemption draweth nigh. So the next thing is Israel goes through Jacob's trouble for 1260 days. So you'd have to change the calendar to do that. Because 1260 days is not the same thing as the first half of the 70th week. So the first half, also, I don't know what calendar they're on. Who cares? All we know is this is not the end. This is not the end. This is just the beginning of sorrows. Yahoo! And when you see these things, you know, lift up your heads, rejoice, give praise to God, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's in the Bible. It's in Luke. I think it's Luke 21, but wherever it is there. And so every day you read the Bible, it's all happiness and goodness and peace, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Remember the angels sang that? Well, that's been 2,000 years ago. They're still singing, I guess. Keep it up. And so God never changes his mind. So the bulema, B-O-U-L-E-M-A, bulema, has to then be executed, fulfilled on the earth. That's why Jesus came down, died for us. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. Then that's how you got your new heart. But that's because of the blood of Jesus. Three times. He not only forgave you, that is grace right there. But then he also lives inside of you. That's grace. And then also because of that, you're heading for glory. You're about to be destined on the throne forever and ever, world without end. World upon world upon world upon world. No beginning, no ending. Now, you've all heard me preach that for years, and it doesn't mean anything. But I'm telling you, to understand the times right now, I know exactly where we are, and exactly things are about to change. And so, because of that, remember I said that, and I don't know, a long time ago. Clay remembers. That was in, what year was that? 2010, yeah.
No, 93.
93, whatever. I've been preaching silly stuff for years. But 49 years ago when God said, you're going to finish the Reformation. Okay. I didn't know what it meant, but I wasn't even a Christian. I mean, that was the moment I became a Christian. Just, this is your assignment. Oh, boo. I mean, I don't even know German. I don't know Latin. I don't know anything. And I should have paid attention. Because I was a good student about ficta and, you know, Dewey. I knew all their works. I read everything you could possibly read. And I got A++. Well, because I had a photographic memory and nobody knew about that because I hid that. But I could sit. I always sat in the front row so I didn't miss a word. And I have my own shorthand. It's not like writing in a line. Mine is just, you know, a circle here and a triangle over here. And I don't know. I just did it that way. But I've always thought that way because I was an artist. And I like, you know, just drawing rather than listening. But I can hear everything the professor is saying and I just put an R for righteousness and, you know, I do all kinds of things. And so I not only did I get a grade, I got a super grade. And I was an honors student. I just kept going from degree to degree because I wanted to get 7 PhDs in my life. But after I got out, I realized you really don't need them because I knew enough about Greek and enough about Hebrew because I used to audit those. I always cheated when I went to school. If I didn't like the subject that they had, I went to it anyway and just audited it. So I would have 5 or 6 classes, but then I would also have audits, and I didn't know Hebrew, so I went anyway and heard everything he said because I have a photographic memory. So I learned it without even trying to learn it, like a little kid. Like a little kid, if I didn't know something, I'd just go to the kindergarten section in the library, and I'd read all about, anything I didn't know about. Because little kids sit on the floor, and I sit on the floor, they do, just read it. Because Niels Bohr wrote this thing all about astrophysics. And so I just read him because he's the most famous guy. at that time. So I just read him, and he has pictures and stuff because it's a little kid book, and they like pictures. So a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I'm just there reading about, and I know the little kid next to me, he puts it down because he can't read that. But I said, no. If this guy's so smart, let him write it in a child way, because I'm a stupid child and I don't know anything about chemistry or about anything. And so I was able to learn in a few minutes because I went to the little kid book and just read it. And I have a picture in my mind, and I don't forget pictures because I'm an artist. And so I'm creative. I just did it, and all of a sudden I became happy because, hey, and if one time I stole this book in seminary. No, in college, actually. I was in the library. I worked for the library. But I hated to take books and then come back and have to pay the fine, because I didn't have any money. And so I just hated to pay the fine. So I was a miser. So I saved everything I had, but I didn't want to waste it on paying fines. So this professor was coming. He was the greatest scholar. And he was going to come to school. I thought, huh. So I saw it right on the desk of the library's desk right there. And since I'm in the library all the time, I know everything about it. And if you just walk through the library, you learn stuff just from reading the titles. I don't even need to read the book. I just read the titles. And so I picked up this book. And of course, I'm used to stealing. So I just, put it in my pocket. Stole. And then I went home and read the book so I'd be ahead of all the other students who were, official. They knew what it was like to be whatever they were supposed to be. Whereas I didn't respect all of that. I just cheated. So, did you know that cheating is quicker than actually going through the counting of ballots? It's just easy. And so I always went, I learned this in, I think, in fifth grade. The shortest distance between two lines is a straight line. And I thought, that's how cheating works. You just go straight. Why go crooked? If you don't have money, just steal it. Whatever. So I did that. So I was a bad person. And I never did ever in anything. Didn't I love my parents, my three parents, my three fathers, and so on. I didn't love them, didn't care for them, didn't care for anybody. And nobody cared for me until I met Jesus in Texas. So I'm so glad they came to Texas. Because this is the place where God introduced himself to me when I was in Arizona. And so after Christmas time, I went to Arizona. Peggy, I read this book, and it's so cool. It's just like in the Bible. Now, I'm not a Christian, but it's like in the Bible. And these sisters say God has miracles happen every day. And they say, repentance, the joy-filled life. Now, repentance is like Baptists. They believe in that. And so they repent. But no, it's like Lutherans. You beat your breast, like that. But then they have the joy-filled life. And they have happy songs in the Baptist church. And so he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I liked all those songs. So the songs drew me. Because I always loved music, because I was in Illinois, I was the one that won the, thing for the greatest tenor and so on and so forth. And so I always did the easy way, and I just had I don't know how I did it. I just existed every day, and I hoped I wasn't killed every day, trying to survive every day and in this wicked world, and, all my family's mafia and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't matter to me because I don't even know what mafia meant. I didn't know it meant family, or I didn't know what it meant. I never looked it up. So I didn't go to the kindergarten to see what the mafia is like. They didn't have a book like that in kindergarten book. And so when I went there, in 1 second, a nanosecond, I don't even know what that means, but it's real small. It's like not even a second. At this nanosecond, I knew God loved me. And heard him, and I knew he loved me, and immediately his presence, just his presence in the going up the hall, I was just walking like this, and I just stopped in the middle, and I heard God, and I realized, wow, I love God. I never loved God. I never wanted to be a Christian. Golly, I want to be a hypocrite and a liar like Christians are? I'm not going to do it. So I never planned on being a Christian. But all of a sudden, God settled that, and right there, even though I was a pastor. I was already a pastor, but I just had head knowledge in my head. So I knew all about all the stuff. But it didn't ever touch my heart until that day, until that moment. And I realized I love him. That's the first time in my life, because I didn't want to be a Christian. I never asked to be a Christian. I never prayed about that. I didn't want to, you know, get near to him or anything like that. I just did whatever you're supposed to do, because they made you go to, you know, you had to go to a chapel every day or every other day, I guess once a week or something. Mom, was it on Monday or something? It's one day a week. Anyone that went to this Christian school, like East TCU and all these kind of things, and then you had to go and you had to, you know, listen to it. But it didn't mean anything to me. It just didn't. It was irrelevant to me. I just wanted to be, you know, make it through the day. And so, but I was an excellent student because I cheated. I cheated a lot. And stole. And so on and so forth. And so, never did a decent thing in my life until I became a Christian. And one day, I was sitting in the back in David's room, way in the back. And I was sitting there because David was gone for some reason. The room was open anyway. So I made that my office. And God said, go and tell Peggy that she was right and you were wrong. Please forgive me. I laughed. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You said when you become a Christian, you do that. Yeah, that's what I said. But I'm not going to do it. Because she would never respect me after that. Because I'm the man, and I'm always right. I mean, you know, that's evil. Anyway, I did it anyway. And so I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, you said when you were a Christian, you'd just do whatever I say, when I say it, and so on. Yeah, I know, but I'm not going to do it. I'd lose my ego. I'd lose everything. I wouldn't have any authority anymore. I'd be a wimp. I'd be nothing. I'm not going to do it. He said, you said you would do it. He said, we'd do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. It'd be embarrassing to me because I don't want to be a nothing like that. So, and okay, I'll do it. But I'm just going to pretend. I'm not going to do it. And I'll make a joke. Because if I make a joke, then Peggy won't know if I'm telling the truth or not because I lie a lot and so on. So I'll just say a joke. And he said, and no joke. Oh, gosh, God, I can't do that. That'll be a killer. Exactly. You're catching on. Oh, that's it? That's killing? Okay. I'll go up. So I went up, and Peggy is right here in the around the corn. So I'm going up from David's room. And then, and he said, and say it quickly and don't laugh. Okay. Peggy, you were right. I was wrong. And please forgive me. Thank you. And so I just walked up. And as I'm walking up the aisle, all of a sudden, this thought came to me. That's the first decent thing you ever did. I never did a decent thing in my whole life. Ever. I did things that looked decent, but they were tricks. I was just using people as objects. Right? They weren't people. They were just objects. Whether they're a professor, I could lie. And I could do anything. But all of a sudden, I realized, hey, you know what? You could do that a second time. Yeah. I felt good about that because that's the first decent thing I ever did. So I realized, wow, this thing with God, you don't have to think about it. You just do it like he said. So that, from then on, I did everything God said just like that. You read it, you immediately apply it. That's for you. Do it right now. Wow. I'm not going to get up 7 times in the night like that guy did. And there are certain things I didn't even believe in. For example, remember this guy? He had an axe in his hand, and he was chopping down trees, and all of a sudden he threw the thing back, and the axe went into the water. And all of a sudden, God made it float. I think, well, I guess ships, I guess they're made of metal, and they float, but they have air in them or something like that. I don't know how they do it. And so I said, I don't believe in that. And I don't think God heals teeth. And I don't believe a lot of things in the Bible. So people say that. And so I was a skeptic. And skepticism means I just trusted myself to figure stuff out without God. But now that I was a Christian, I don't do that anymore. I just do whatever God says when he says it, and willingly and gladly, and it doesn't take away my joy. Why? Because of the blood. See, the blood is that when he sheds his blood, I died. And then when he rises from the dead, I live. So I'm born to die to live. 4, 5, 6. And that leads to 7, which leads to glory. So I began to understand that. Wow, I never knew all this stuff. I found happiness in 1 second in Scottsdale, Arizona. I mean, I just, right away, I knew there's the God, and he loves me, and I love him. And I didn't have to think about it. I just knew that's the case. And that's why when he said, now go and tell your wife, you're right, I was wrong, please forgive me. That was easy. But I didn't know it was easy, because I was scared to even stand there. I just couldn't. You were right, I was wrong, please forgive me. And so, and I just walked up the hall. And did you know God can meet you anywhere at any time, even with sins? I'll say that again. And he can meet you at any time, anywhere, and say, I already forgave your sin. Now, it's not head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. And now I said, this is easy, because then everything I've done is sinful, but I don't need to do that anymore, because I'm a Christian, because of the blood. So the blood is your entryway into the kingdom of God, and it leads to glory. So the riches of his glory is second after the riches of his grace. Ah, karatos. It always leads to doxa, glory. Wow. And so I realized, wow, this thing is a piece of cake. How many know that if you're proud like that, you're going to fall in a few seconds? So I was proud. I was so proud that I did a decent thing in my life. And so I even said to Peggy, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's in the Bible. And I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. So you don't have to worry about it. I love you with all my heart and soul and strength. You know, I just said it, but I didn't do it. Did you know there's a lag between your faith and then your life? There's a little lag. I mean, you say you're going to do something and it's just words. But then there's no deed behind it. It just kind of waits for a month or 2 years or 15 years or whatever. And you have to be patient during that time. I'm not going to tell you the rest of my story because it's not interesting. What's interesting is I learned like a little kid day by day by day. Unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't use your brains. You can't use your emotions. You can't use your life. You can't use the deeds you've not done or done. It has nothing to do with any of that. It only has to do with that blood that gets you in. And then you go on to sanctification, and then you go on to glorification. I want that. And blood does all three of those. So that's the atonement based on the blood. You have to have that foundation right there. If you get that, then you have to go on. But nobody wants to go on. That's why so many people say, I'm a Christian, but next minute you see them swearing or lying or cheating or, you know, getting hunk. You know, they're just into lust or selfishness. And I realize, well, how do I get rid of that? You don't. What do you mean? I don't. Because you didn't die on the cross. So all of it's in the blood. That blood caused God, so that he says, you're my beloved. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what Jesus said. So I'm going to say the same thing Jesus said, because he said it. But I don't even know what it means. I don't even know how it works. So I'm just going to do it. And that's how you grow, because you grow by hearing. Hearing, not hearing with understanding, not hearing with feeling it, not hearing with, you know, wanting something magic to happen. You don't need that. You just need my naked, bare word. And I think that's why I grow so fast, because I was a rotten, no good person, and all of a sudden I became a good person, but I didn't even know what that even meant. But now I do. And so I'm happy all the time. So I can now prophesy to you, it's easy, to say the world's about to change. Why? Because he's not going to kill off all of his church. So Eve will be vindicated. Why? Because you saw Jesus die on the cross for you. So he executed what Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, said as the Godhead in heaven. Now he executed that, but after that, who's going to execute next? You. Me. I can't do that. I'm just barely out of the swamp. I'm just barely coming out of the slough. So I think it would be more like a worm or something like that. I don't think I'm that mature. Yes, the blood did that. Really. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to, every time I get to something that sounds like he kills something, the priest, then you'll realize that's the blood. That's the beginning. And so, 29, where am I? Here. All right. Here's, this is not 29. Not even an Exodus. Where are Exodus? The second book. There you go. 27. 29. I don't read these interesting parts. Just leave the 29. And this is the thing that you shall do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. So he's talking about the priest here and consecrating them as every priest. How many know that we are all priests? All of us. Take one young bullock and two rams. That's the blood, without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened, tempered with oil, and waters, unleavened, anointed with oil, and wheaten flour, thou shalt make them. And thou shalt put them in one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and two rams. And Aaron and his sons, priests, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. So, all of that doesn't mean anything. That to me means everything. This is the blood. Every time you kill a bullock, every time you kill a lamb, every time you kill a goat, every time you kill a turtle dove, whatever it is, every time you do it, the blood is shed. Everything is going on this way. And when that happens, that means God changes his mind. It's not a law, it's a promise. It's not a law. Mitzvah could have different understandings, but I'm teaching everything is, it's all a promise. Everything from beginning to end. And it's always that. That is the most important word in the Old Testament, holiness. Mitzvah, a command. I command you. Remember this in the beginning? What was his first command? First command. What is the command? You shall freely eat of all the trees of the garden. So he says, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. Liberty is first, not law. Liberty is first. You may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. He set them free. Do you see that? That's the first words out of God's mouth in the Garden of Eden. You may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. Wow. So you could even eat of the forbidden tree, and that's okay. Because he said all. Or you could eat of the tree of truth. Or you could eat of the tree of life. You could eat of any tree. So, what happened? Because he said, you may freely eat of all the trees. What did Adam and Eve did? They immediately went to the one that said death, instead of life. So, if you eat of this tree, you immediately die that day. That day, you immediately die. So they ate of the tree. They ate of the tree. And then God said, where are you? Because something had happened and darkness came into them and the Spirit of God went back to God. Ruach instead of nephesh. Did you hear what I just said? Nephesh means your natural life. It's just like animals. They also have nephesh because they have life. So if they have the life, then they're alive, but they're just existing. They don't have born-again experience like I had when I went to Arizona. And when I had that, I realized, wow, there's a big difference between ruach and nefesh. I'm not just alive, existing. And Jesus argued that with the Pharisees in the 8th chapter of John. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And they didn't catch on when he said that. We weren't born of fornication. You know, we didn't do that. And so they argue about it. What he said is, no, it's because you sinned. And if you are a slave of sin, then you sinned. That's it. So anytime you sin, and everybody here sins. By the way, I know everything about your life without knowing anything about your life. Because I know everybody here isn't going to sin. Because he said so in the book. He said so in this book. And so this book tells me, because this is the written word, but Jesus is the living word. But this book tells you all about Jesus, which you'd never know because he isn't here anymore. He's in heaven with God. So you'd never know about him. He'd be an unknown God. But now we know, but that Jesus thing is not just historically coming down to us. It's also, how would I know him? You know, it's just I'm born in America, I'm Christian. I mean, what makes me Christian? Maybe if I was born in India, I'd be, something else. What are you going to be? So God is saying to you, when you see me split this blood shed because of these animals, this is animal, they have nefesh in them. And you kill them, then they blood. And that blood, they just keep. And then, you know what? He calls it to the outer court. At that beast, and he takes a bowl, puts it in the bowl, then he goes into the holy place, and then he goes all the way into the Holy of Holies because he's the high priest. So only the high priest can do that. So Jesus is our high priest. How many know Jesus is your high priest? If you have a high priest, this is Hebrews 7th chapter, what? 12th verse. And then 7 verses later, he'll say something else. But what he says in the 12th verse is, if you change the high priest, of necessity, you will now have to change the law. Mitigate the law. Make sure that the law is not harsh. Make sure that it's always in your favor. So every law that I read now is actually a promise. So it goes like this. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But he didn't say, I shall surely kill you. Oh, that's interesting. If he said, if you eat of that, I'm going to come and beat you up and make you suffer and then kill you. He didn't say that. He just said, you just drank poison. You just drank darkness. You're part of this world now. Oh, that's what you're talking about. So because of this, then when he says, you shall surely die, he meant Jesus would die in your stead. Jesus would die for you. So Jesus' death is your death. Because Jesus died, and he did that because he's trying to tell you something. I love you just the way you are as a sinner. Wow. So when you go into the God's presence without a sin, you're not acceptable. Because everybody today, until he comes back a second time, when he comes back a second time, you'll have new heart, new soul, new body, new walk, new everything. New heaven and new earth. All of that is coming. That's the glory. But now, today, I'm telling you right now, the weight is on you to do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't you think that's funny? Don't you think? I think that's funny. So God obviously has a humorous side to himself. Because what he's saying, he's glorified by the fact that you believed on him. He was happy that day that I believed him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I had no leg to stand on because I knew I'll probably just sin right afterward. Because he asked me, do you want me to be the Lord of your life? No, Savior. I mean, that's the wrong thing to say. No, de jure, I mean, yes, you're my Lord someday and so on and so forth. But not now. Otherwise, you want me to start lying? I'm not going to start lying. So I can tell you the truth. The truth is that I had no idea how it worked. I had no idea. I just knew that you had to do it the way he said, read. Hear. So I read out loud. I would actually sing it. Anything I read in the Bible, I sung it. So I like singing, so I just sung. So this was a new song. And so I'd read these things. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat. That was the high priest. And the robe of the ephod. That's what we're going to hear as brides later. And ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. In other words, wrap that around. And thou shalt put the mitre, the crown, upon his head. But it wasn't a crown, gold. It's just a crown. Upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. So it all doesn't make any sense, but it does. Then thou shalt take the anointing oil, olive oil, and pour it upon his head and anoint him. So this is how Aaron got anointed to be the high priest. And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. In other words, they'll have something that covers them too. And thou shalt girt them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. I don't even know what these all are. I never wear a bonnet, so I don't know what that is. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Do you see how God writes this so that an intelligent person could never understand what he's talking about? Because they aren't Jewish. They don't even know what a bonnet is or what it is. You'd have to know something to read this. So most intellectual people, like I was, they just throw it away. Because they said, that's irrelevant to me. I don't even know what he's talking about. Right? How many know that God loves you while you're yet a sinner and you don't know what you're doing? Like little kids. How can little kids say to you, don't forget Jesus loves you? Right, David? And so, however she learned that, she learned it, and then did he say it to you yesterday or yesterday? So our little 2-year-old just said that to him. Don't forget Jesus loves you. She just heard it, and so she said it. That's how you grow as a Christian. God always will come downstairs and love you just the way you are. He doesn't want you to clean up, doesn't want you to fix up, doesn't want you to look beautiful, doesn't want anything. You can just be ugly for Jesus. He's not interested in glory. He's not interested in all that stuff. That's just, you get that later. That's a reward. That's the prize, it says in the Bible. Someday you're going to run a race and then get the prize for running. But Jesus ran the race and I got the prize because I said Jesus is my prize. All I have is Jesus. Everything in this world is going to pass away. Everything in this world will pass away into the lake of fire. But we Christians, as Larry said today, we Christians need to pray for Christians and then your neighbor and pray for everybody. Why? Because it works. And so you may not like it, but that's the way it works. Everything is going your way and you can't do anything to stop it. God don't love me anymore. I'm about to sin. He doesn't care. All he cares about is, do you believe that I'm good? Yeah. I believe you're good. Don't even think about it, but just, I love you. Oh, yeah. And you're not going to leave me? The Lord is what? He never changes. He's immutable. You cannot change his eternal bulem. Bulema, you cannot change that. But then the other one could be changed. If Jesus didn't come and die for you, you wouldn't have the blood that executes what he willed in heaven. So Jesus was Son of God, Hologos, in heaven. But when he comes on the earth, he can die. He can die. That's why he came, so that he could die, so you wouldn't die. Wow. I love this, that God twists everything, uses everything to make you totally happy on this earth. Even though you're suffering. Even though you go through, Biden and Comey and all these people. Pray for them. Just pray for them. Just pray for them. Why? Because you have to be clean. How? How do you do it? You don't. Jesus does it for you, and you just have faith in him. So he didn't do what you were supposed to do, ought to do, could have done, should have done, but he didn't. He just did it for you. I did it for you. Just by faith. But now someday that faith is going to end up in glory. And when you see that, you'll know, whoa, this is now my turn. I can do a good work and I get a reward for it. Whereas the other people do a good work and they don't get a reward for it because you can't do a good work because you can't do a good work because you're not born again by faith. But if you're born again by faith, and that's the only thing God will accept in his presence. If you believe as a sinner, if you believe that I've forgiven you, then you can come into my presence. God, I just sinned today. However, now that I'm in your presence here, yes, I was going to say all these things, but I can't remember them all. But I think I sinned two or three times on one of this one. And so God doesn't want to hear that. You see, well, all he wants to do is believe on him. Now I have a relationship with Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory, sanctification, to another degree of glory, glorification. That's it. That's it. That's what we're doing. He now forgave us. Now he lives in us. And then he's going to work through us. And when men see your good works, they won't thank you. They'll thank God. You must be a man of God. You must be a woman of God. You must be the new Eve I'm looking for. So Eve, by childbearing, produced Mary later, and she became the mother of Jesus Christ. And because of that, through childbearing, Jesus came. He was one of the Jewish people, but he came because he's now son of man. And he had to be born of woman. And it had to be Mary, who then said, "Let it be to me as you have said." You see, she had faith in him, and she was just a little girl. She's young. We don't even know what age she is. But whatever it is, she's going to bear Jesus. And she just buried all that stuff in her heart. She didn't know what it was talking about. And neither do you. You don't know anything about God until you get to that glory. Then you realize, wow, it's actually me doing it, but I didn't do it. I know Jesus did that. But that's the blood. That blood does all that. That is the starting point, and you never forget this. Whenever you goof up over here, let's say in your behavior, just go back to the cross. Go back to the cross where Jesus shed his blood. So you see, you can never lose with Jesus Christ. And you have to talk to people every day and say, it doesn't matter what you're doing, it matters what he did, because he has to keep his word, because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Why? Why did he do that? Because he knows that's the word you needed to have? And that's the word I could base on. That's the word that is foundation. But then he builds the thing, and then he lives in the thing, and then he's working for you, and you don't know that it was Jesus. Because you took the credit, but actually he did it for you and in you and through you. I can't even understand that, but I like it, because it makes me be happy all the time. So when bad things happen, and they are happening today, they're bad things, everything. If you're happy about something, the devil will find a way to talk to Biden and to talk to Obama and to talk to Comey and all these people. He'll get away, and they cheated. And Trump yesterday, he just said these words before the fireworks came on last night. And he just said, and by the way, you might find me thinking about running in a little bit. And that, we don't know what that meant, but it meant something like, I'm going to run again. I'm only working on the Senate, and I'm only working on the federal Senate and the federal representatives. That's all I'm working on. And I'll win. I'll win this time, but it'll be legit. You thought last time just because they cheated? Nah, that doesn't mean anything. He's ready to... Do you know that his mother had two aunts. And the two aunts in the year 1900 made a revival in the Isle of, what's it called, Peggy?
It's off of Scotland.
Oh, the Isle of? Lewis. Okay, that's where all Peggy's whole relatives live on the Isle of Lewis. Just a few live in Scotland itself. But this is the New Hebrides way to the west. And that isle is the biggest isle out there. Biggest one. and all the MacIvers are there. So that's where she came from. So, and they have a video of it, and you can see it. You can see it actually happening in 1900, because they had cameras. And so they've photographed the whole thing. And you can see what his mother looked like, and so on and so forth. But see, this is where he comes from, and he has this background, and he was given that a Bible, that mother's Bible, is his Bible. And so he has this religion in him. Just like, I never thought I would be a Christian, ever. But when I was in high school, knowing nothing about anything, all the students were going to Young Life. And I just went because everybody else went. And but I remember they sang this song there. And then later in Chicago, Peggy was there too. And we didn't know each other at all. But there were thousands of people came from all over the United States. And they said this song. And so I was singing these songs without knowing anything that they mean or anything. I just sang them because I like to sing. And so, how does it start out? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I hear His voice of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That's me. That's me. But I learned that as a little kid, but I didn't even know what it meant. But then I met Jesus Christ because he came down. I did not climb Jacob's ladder to get up to Him. So that ladder of Jacob, somebody upstairs must be holding that in the heavens. Get up, can you come up? I can, but it's already 4 feet off the ground. I think I'm getting tired. And he said, no, don't worry about it. Jesus is coming down. That's cool. So he comes down with unbelievable love for me with no conditions. Wow. An unconditional love. He loves you just the way you are. Isn't that funny? I don't have to do good work. I don't have to do anything. I let Him do everything. And when He does everything, then there's nothing to do. Because He's perfect and I'm not. Because I still have sin. And that's why He said, if I didn't shorten the days of that last millennial kingdom thing, I come with vengeance to get the wicked and fierce wrath to come for the wicked. But when I'm done with that, I will then build, and Israel will then have her glory. She'll get her land back. But how many of Israel will want to go to heaven rather than get their land back? Nobody knows. I don't know. I'm not the judge, so I can't decide. So maybe all of them, maybe some of them, it doesn't make any difference. I don't need to know things that I don't need to know. All I know is this, that God loves you personally, privately, individually. He loves you just as you are. And any fixing up, Jesus will do it. Every change in you, Jesus will do it. So you are all saints today. He doesn't call the sinners at Rome. He calls it saints. So I'm a saint. How did I get to be a saint? I don't know. All I know is I'm happy. Because Jesus said He loves me and He never leave me or forsake me. So Christianity is all about Jesus keeping His promise, not me giving a law. I'm under grace. So everybody here is happy all the time. Jackie, you're happy all the time. She knows that. Danny, you're happy all the time. Leah, you're happy all the time. You can't take it away. Once he gives it, he's not an Indian giver. And we're going to keep out, take that back. Because you have coal, or you have this, or you have that. And so anytime the Indians get something from America, they get nothing. Well, you're sitting on oil, so you can't have this land, so go over there in the desert. And then in the desert, they'll find some more. And so the Indians are flourishing, but they know bingo. They do know that. And so they gamble on that. And so that's how they survive. How many know that the Indians, if you pray for them, they'll be blessed? Amen. Everybody you pray for will be blessed when you pray for them. All he wants is you to be a hot church. Don't be lukewarm. Be a hot church. Don't be kliaros. Be zestos. The zeal of the Lord will do it. Ha! The zeal of the Lord does it. I don't do it. I can't believe we'd have a God like that. I can't believe that a God like that doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm believing it. Why? Because he visited me. He came downstairs, visited me, and said, "You're mine, and I assigned you to this assignment, mission on earth. You're not Jesus. You're just going to be like Jesus, but Jesus will do the work, and you'll get the credit. And you'll get a reward. Because God is merciful. He'll just give me a reward, and I didn't really do anything. Jesus did it all. And I give God all the glory." So, sola scriptura, sola gratia, solus Christus. Everything is working my way. This is good news. Could we have a testimony of somebody here? I love that. Pastor, I love that Jesus' blood starts it, but it doesn't finish it. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. And you can do that because you're now going to be yourself actually willing to do it, happily do it, without any coercion, without any pressure, without any resistance. You'll do it. How many know? That's me. That's me, Pastor. David, that's you. Larry, that's you. Whew. Powerful. David, that's you. You don't have to do anything. The whole thing is don't struggle. Don't do anything. If you do any labor, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Well, that's a good trade. Isn't that a good trade? He sees that I'm laboring to please him when he doesn't want to be pleased because he's already pleased with you because he made you in the first place. I'm not mad at Adam and Eve. He's not mad at Cain killing Abel. He's not mad at anybody. He's always wanted to redeem everybody who believed in Jesus Christ by faith, and then led on not just to the grace of God, but to do the glory of God. Now, that's what's going to happen from now on. You'll be ruling even right now on earth as it is in heaven. That can't happen when you go to heaven, so it has to happen here. So on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How can I do that? I can't do that. Yes, you can. He'll empower you to do it by Jesus doing it with you, and then it's not clear who did it, you or him, because he wants to marry you. He wants to marry you, and he'll be your husband from now on. He'll be your husband. And you got everything the husband has, even though you don't have it, because you're simply a man, a mere man, but now you're a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. That's perfect past and perfect present. Perfect past, perfect present. I'm no longer. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm no longer me. I'm another me. I'm a new man in Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's blessed today? Yeah. Anyone. This is such a good news. And, you know, maybe I'll die tomorrow, but at least I preached it today. I feel good about that. Because I hate to die and not having done my mission, my thing, is to have my will love my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my everybody, my enemies, the brethren, you know, whatever it is, I'll do it all. Now, do you have that confidence that Jesus will supply whatever you lack?
Yes.
He'll strengthen you so that you will be able to then, the world, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father. Why don't they glorify me? I just did those good works. No, you didn't. And they know that. That's why Nebuchadnezzar say, the living God, the true and living God, you have the spirit of that God. They didn't even know about Jesus. They didn't know about anything. They didn't know about Judaism. All they knew is, hey, we're conquering them. And so they roughed them up. But you know what happened? In the end, they tried to put them in the fire and all that kind of stuff and goof them up. It didn't work. So everything that any nation has ever done to stop Israel and to stop the church. So the church is what now Israel needs to rely upon. Are we praying for Israel? Art Katz used to come here every year, and that's what he used to say. Every church, local church, needs to pray for Israel. If you bless them, you're blessed. Hey, that's good. So if I bless them, I'm blessed. But now, as a Christian with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can pray for enemies. You can pray for people that are depressed. You can pray for people that whatever. So this morning I had a phone call early in the morning, and this person is going to leave town here and so on and so forth, and to go to somebody that's got cancer. And so Peggy and I prayed this morning after that phone call, and we prayed that to the only God, the only true God, the true and living God, that one, the same one that created America and the same one that created Texas. That's why we won. That's why you continue to win. That's why 4th of July has meaning to me, that America will not disappear, even though they hate us and despise us. Good. That's good. How many know you can praise God when bad things happen? Why? Because it's not bad. It's just lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. You're about to meet Jesus Christ. I want everyone to be ready and to be hot when you go there. Don't worry about theology and all that kind of stuff. I don't worry about any of that. I don't have any faith in all other churches for the most part. I don't. Because I know God called me, and I'm going to do what God said. To the death. I don't care if I die today. I don't care if somebody shoots me. I don't care. Because why? Because I believe God loves me. I just believe that. He's the first person that ever loved me unconditionally. No one else did. My mom tried to abort me, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. I forgive all that. And now then I witnessed to my mom, and she became a Christian. That was funny. Now I'm going to go and visit my cousin. He's an atheist. He'll become a Christian too. And then I'm going to live with my sister, and you know, all kinds of bad stuff happen. It's going to change. I'm going deliberately this summer to visit them. Peggy will go with me. And we're going to have a ball, right? Because I believe that everything is going my way. I don't believe I have to go out and do anything. I believe I just have to show up and pray for them. That's what all we do. So, Margaret, you remember when you were young, you said, Dad, your cousin, he's an atheist, and yet he says he's good. Do you remember that, Margaret? This is Dad, it's just like you said. He's an atheist, but he says he's good. And so he does, and he does believe that. But one day, he said to Peggy while I was standing right there, your husband, and I was standing right there, your husband doesn't know how much he's loved. That was my cousin saying that to her as though I wasn't there. And I'm right there. So he didn't want to say, I love you. He couldn't say that, but he could say that as an atheist. So I believe he's all right. And so I'm going to go and, you know, pull in the fish, you know, whatever it is. Put the notch on your thing. Why? Because the whole world needs to hear this gospel of Jesus Christ, that you don't have to do a thing. God has done everything. There's only one God. There can't be two. So all of the gods are idols and they're nothing. So the best is yet to come. Amen. Woohoo! Who else wants to testify today? David, thank you.
Well, I just saw something when you were, you briefly mentioned the story of the axe head. And I just kind of saw how when we take things into our own hands and start to work with it.
Right. Yeah.
Only God can keep our flood.
Right.
And that accent,
right.
In a sense, could represent
right.
What we did with Israel.
Right.
We used what came to Israel.
Right.
And we put the handle on it.
Right.
And started to work with it. And then we threw Israel off.
Right.
But God is able to keep them afloat.
He'll raise them back up. As a matter of fact, he's already promised. This is not even guessing what it says in the Old Testament. If you read it very carefully, read Malachi, the whole thing, the whole chapter. If you read Malachi, it says, you would be perished, sons of Jacob, were it not for me keeping my promise to Abraham. So, in other words, he's saying, you don't have anything to worry about. Wrath will never come to you. Not all of you, but all of those who are righteous. So what he's saying to Israel was those priests will renew the body. The body. Why? Because he wants to. He loves people that sin against him. He doesn't care that you sin against him. That's natural. That is so piece of cake. Because God didn't change. He's immutable. He can't change. If he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. He can't change his mind. Oh, I changed my mind after what you just did. He won't do that. He cannot do that. He wants everyone to hear this gospel. It is so good. And even though you don't get it right away, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't have to get it right away. Take your time. God is all the time in the world to do whatever he wants to do. Every one of us will be brothers and sisters in heaven. Now, I don't mean everybody will be there. You have to have faith. And then you have to have the glory. You have to have both. So the faith is based on his grace. But then your glory is based upon his gift, his prize, his reward. You'll get that too. Wow. So you can reign on earth. You could actually reign on earth, right? Why? Because that's how much he loves you. If you just did one thing I say, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour down on anything you do and you won't even have room to take everything I've given you. Your crops will grow, your vine will grow, your trees will grow. Everything is going to flourish on earth as it is in heaven. When? It doesn't make any difference. That's what God has said. Just test me, try me, see whether I didn't speak to you the truth, the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. If you just do this on earth, people will see it. And all the nations of this world, the nations are still here at this time, all the nations of the world will call you blessed. And they'll say, I want to hook up with you. I want to be tied to you. The nations of this world, China. China today has more Christians per capita than any other nation on earth. Iran, second. Biggest one, per capita, more Christians coming to Jesus Christ. People are hungry today. They're thirsting for the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's why Trump is so easy, because he actually does what he's supposed to do, and he's not even bothered by the enemy. He came to clean the swamp. He's going to clean the swamp. So how many know that the best is yet to come? And you'll be part of it. You don't even have to go to Washington. You don't have to go to Austin. You don't have to go anywhere. Just stay here and pray. Pray for people. You can change the whole world. How many know this church, just this church, you can just do it, but you'd have to believe. You can't just make yourself believe. You can't make yourself believe. You just believe because it's so good. The promises are so good. So we're built on better promises than Israel had. If you, then I. you know, if you do this, then I'll do that. This is not like that. This one is just, I do it freely. I freely do it. And you then, when I see you, that your will is changed and you're another person, you're not you anymore. How many here don't want to be yourself anymore? You want to be God's person. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. It's powerful. All right. Danny, closing prayer.
All right. Father, we thank you that for the blood. The blood that was shed on the cross, that's our foundation. No other foundation can be laid. None. And to build on. And that you are building us a house. You're building a house. Which house are we? And that we will be perfected just the way you said it would be in this life. That we would see your grace and your mercy in our life, and we would also see your glory, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that you keep us. We do not keep ourselves. We thank you, Father God, you grant us the power today to hear your word, to preach it, to hear it, and the power to do it.
Yes.
And it's all Jesus.
Yes.
Because he's in us to will and to do. Good pleasure. We thank you for that.
Yes.
We love you. We praise you. This is the best day of our life.
Woo-hoo.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love you all. You're the best. Come in.
Yep.
Really? Praise God. Where is it?
Where is it?
Oh.
Okay.
Line up.
We need to move the table there.
No,
yeah.
We're going to distribute.
Distribute? Oh. Praise God. Boy, makes it easy. Okay.
I'll take the time.
Yeah. There you go.
You might only need one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to run out of wafers if we do it that
okay.
way.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? There
David?
We got it.
Danny, why don't you?
Okay.
Let me just do this.
I'll do this side.
Lord Jesus, in the night in which you were betrayed, on that night you said, not by will, not my will, but you, sovereign Father, your will be done. not anything on earth. I'm Son of Man. I'm capable of dying for people. I thank you, Lord God, that this is your will that I'm executing through my shedding of blood. And then someday, the people of God will also take this as an example and love their neighbor as themselves. Love their enemies. Love their brethren. Love their family. Love everything. Thank you, Lord God, that they will be like us. Thank you, Lord God, that you have made this communion the possibility of showing your unconditional love. And there's nothing we could ever do to cause you to go back on your word. Your word is certain. Your word can never be doubted. Even though we doubt, we don't count it. We don't know that. We don't even know what we're talking about. We know that this is the truth, the whole truth, the way, the life, everything. You are that tree of life that was in the garden. And that tree of life we now partake of. Let us now partake of the bread.
Thank you.
And in the same manner, also the cup. Thank you, Lord God, that there is power in the blood. But that's just the start. But you also promised with this nourishment today that this goes on until the glory is not only in you, the Father, and you, the Son, but also is in us. Because you fill us with your presence. And that presence changes everything so that we are glorious. And you're going to marry a glorious bride. A glorious bride perfected by you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I love you all. Depart in peace. What time?
This is kind of
7 o'clock.
7?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Perfect.
We don't know. You know, I don't know him personally, but we have heard a lot of his teaching on that.
Oh, yeah.
He knows Reggie. He's a friend of Reggie.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, you might.